The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go. Yeah. For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, y'all. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
Good afternoon, good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's Coach's Corner. Man, I tell you what, I got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of fun. I tell you what, it's April 1st. The first day of spring has come and gone. I tell you, it feels like it's going to be a real hot summer. We've got a lot of things to talk about. March Madness, those of you who've been watching the tournament, as you know, the last several weeks I've had head coach Jack Murphy call in from NAU, and he's helped us break down the bracket. So we're going to talk some March Madness with him when he calls in. Should be shortly. And also today we're going to launch a new show for Voice America called Communication Nation, and Jill Scheffelbein is in studio with me right now. I want to welcome Jill not only to the show but to Voice America family.
Thanks, Scott. I'm happy to be here.
So we'll talk a little bit about her show in the second segment. We're kind of going to get into that. She's also a big sports fan, so she's been glued to the television show or to the television in the last several weeks. As a matter of fact, I think it was Saturday, I told you, don't come in here wearing those Jayhawk colors.
Yeah, I wouldn't be after their performance, but that's okay.
Yeah, that was a rough night for you, I'm sure. And I've got another buddy who's a diehard. He's a Jayhawk diehard, man. I mean, you know, Rock Chalk Day, Jayhawk all day long, and it's all he does, right? And I know he's hurting Aaron Wendler. So he used to be the head coach out of Mountain Point High School. And so I'm sure he's sitting at home still licking his wounds. You Jayhawk fans, man, you guys are diehards.
We are. But, you know, the one good thing about it, you know, some places you root for one team in the state and you can't pick it all. But I guarantee you almost all the Jayhawk fans now are all putting their support behind Wichita State. I mean, how cool that a number 9 seed gets to the Final Four.
They're legit team.
They are legit.
If you look at the way they play, man, that's a legit squad. I was shocked to see how they were able to just dismantle Ohio State for a long period of time. But then again, I thought Ohio State was going to come back and bite them. I mean,
I did as well, and I know Ray's probably not too happy about us talking about this one.
Yeah, the Ohio State Buckeyes are now at home licking their wounds. So a lot of basketball to talk about today. And one of the big stories coming out now, I'm going to have to say I'm happy when I'm able to break news. You know, I broke this morning that Tubby Smith was the new head basketball coach at Texas Tech early on, because I read in a Dallas newspaper this morning that he had agreed on terms and it hadn't been officially announced yet, but he was going to take the job. So I kind of put it on Facebook, put it out there in Twitter world, and all of a sudden, 2 hours later, ESPN reports that it's really happening. Really? Shocker. 2 hours late to the dance, but congratulations to Coach Tubby Smith. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm angry. And as you look at the coaching carousel that's taking place, Coach Tubby Smith going to Texas Tech. Texas Tech has ended up becoming the winner in this coaching carousel. I mean, Minnesota releases Tubby, thinking that they're going to have a shot at Shaka Smart. No dice there. Then I'm pushing. I'm saying Tubby Smith to UCLA. Tubby Smith to UCLA. I'm tweeting it, trying to get a Twitter campaign going, and they're like, Steve Alford. And we're like, what? What? Steve Alford from New Mexico? Wait, 5 days ago, didn't he just sign a 10-year contract renewal? And all of a sudden now Steve Alford is the UCLA head coach. Now, Here's the interesting thing about that. Now, I've got opinions on this, as you know, because I'm a big Bruin guy. But UCLA fires Ben Hallam because his style is too slow, and the seats in the arena were empty because the style was boring. And Bill Walton is trashing him on television because the style was slow and boring, not exciting, not fast-paced, not letting the athletes get up and down the court. Ben Hallam makes a change in his style. The team goes on a run, wins the Pac-12, gets in the tournament, loses to a good Minnesota team. Well, they fire him. And then they turn around and hire Steve Alford. Now, okay. Steve Alford played in Indiana. Now, I'm a Hoosier, born and raised in Gary, Indiana, and all my family's from there. And so, you know, I rooted for Bobby Knight's teams. But Bobby Knight's teams were not fast-break, exciting teams. Steve Alford is not a get-up-and-down-the-court, fast-break kind of guy. He was the shooting guard that took care of the motion offense, or took advantage of the motion offense, coming off double screens, getting the ball, catching it, shooting motion, popping it, dropping threes, and that was his style. Hard defense, playing motion. They would take, if there was, I don't think there was a shot clock back in those days, but if there was a shot clock, 35-second shot clock, they took 32 seconds off of it before they shot the ball. That's just the style he's come from. Now, you look at all of his teams that he's coached in the past, and Steve Alford has not coached an athletic, fast, get-up-and-down-the-court, high-paced, exciting style of basketball. I watched New Mexico. New Mexico, I think it was rated 181st in the offensive production category. Ben Hallam was rated 160th in the offensive category. And so UCLA hires Steve Alford. And then they turn around and had the gall to say, he's an exciting, offensive, quick-paced coach who's going to build excitement and fill seats in Pauley Pavilion. Now, I tweeted out the other day, that's like putting lipstick on a pig and telling me it's Halle Berry. That's not accurate. You cannot tell me Steve Alford is going to put seats. It's not a sexy sell. Tubby Smith, I told you guys last week at the end of the show, if you listen to the last, what, the closing segment of the show, I talked about how I felt Tubby Smith would bring back the era, the aura of prestige and charisma and character and discipline and an exciting style of basketball that was missing from UCLA. He has all the characteristics that Coach John Wooden embraced and had in his programs and how he carried himself. Tubby Smith is that type of person. UCLA never talked to him. So here we have UCLA has Steve Alford, and Texas Tech gets the steal of the century and gets to sign Tubby Smith. Now Texas Tech is going to become relevant in basketball. You can't put a guy like Tubby Smith in Lubbock, Texas, and not expect that program to become relevant. It's going to happen. That's just it, period. Now, I mean, I'm looking at all of the jobs that are still open. Shaka Smart and Brad Stevens have stayed put. So you've got USC. Who's USC going to pick up? USC now is after Florida Gulf Coast coach Andy Ensfield. Well, Coach Andy Ensfield is also interviewed for the Old Dominion job. So it's going to be interesting to see where Coach Ensfield ends up. So there's a whole bunch of stuff happening right now, and I've got issues with this whole UCLA issue, hiring Steve Alford. But you know what? I'm going to have to live with it. I still bleed blue and gold. I'm still a Bruin fan, so I'm going to deal with it, and we'll see if he can change his style a little bit and make it a little bit exciting for us to watch UCLA basketball. What we're going to do right now, because I'm thinking Coach isn't on the line. No, he's not on the line yet. So we're going to have him. We're going to give Coach a call and find out what's going on with him. But, Jill, I want to talk about your show. Let's talk about it. We're going to switch it up here.
All right.
Communication Nation starts tomorrow morning.
At 8 a.m. Pacific time.
At 8 a.m. Pacific time. Now, let's talk a little bit about your background, first mm-hmm. off.
Absolutely. I've been a communicator at heart for so many years, and my, you know, theoretical background, if you will, my education, undergrad, graduate school, it all went in the field of communication. But being in the academic world full-time didn't excite me that much, and I played in it for a while, and it was a good start. But I really enjoyed it when I'd start take these lessons and making the theoretical tangible for people in the business world, in the corporate world, in the coaching world, in the sporting world, all these different sectors of society where communication is instrumental in what they do and how this they succeed. And so with the show, I'm just hoping to bring that to the surface for people.
Okay. And then let's talk about how the show is going to be structured. I mean, what exactly are we going to get? Give us a sample.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, okay, first off, your business name is what?
Impromptu Guru.
Impromptu Guru. Now I'm going to tell you, I told you guys I sent out a teaser, I think it was on Facebook a couple weeks back, that we have a new dynamic show host that's coming up. This is who I was talking about. Now, if you're ever lucky enough to be in the presence of this woman, you're going to see the energy that just emits from her. Now, let's talk about what it is you're going to give people with your show.
And I didn't even have to pay you to say that. Thanks.
The bills are coming.
Oh, okay. Good. You know, with the show, I'm going to do it in a four-segment show. So I'm going to start every show out giving an overview of the communication topic that we're going to be discussing and introducing the guest or guests that will be on the show. The first show, I'm really excited. I have the president and chief operating officer of the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury coming into the studio and one of their leading group sales reps who I've worked with for a while. The team's one of my clients, so I got them to come in here tomorrow morning with me and talk about communication and relationship building, and especially within the athletic industry. It's such a tight-knit community when it really comes down to it.
Totally. And you and I have been talking about that off and on, you know. And this is a great segue into what you're going to be doing, because as athletes and coaches and as you're moving on in your career, you got to have that communication that allows you to move up and break through certain levels that you're trying to move into. Let's talk about an athlete that's at the high school level. How would an athlete at the high school level benefit from listening to your show or using your company Impromptu Guru?
Absolutely. And, you know, at the end of each show, what'll be great after the middle two segments interviews are over, at the end of the show, as I said before, you know, I have an academic background at heart. I've taught as a faculty member at ASU. I'm in my ninth year now, which is hard for me to believe.
And she doesn't look old enough to be teaching for 9 years, but okay.
But it's been a great experience. So at the end of the show, I'll be able to wrap everything up in a nice, neat bow. At least that's the operating theory here. But then give our listeners a tangible takeaway, something that they can run with and implement in their daily lives, in their business, in their organizations, however they see fit, so that at the end of every show, they have something that they can implement in terms of positive change. And so from that aspect, whether you're a high school student, college student, you're an athlete, you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, a manager in a company, you can take these lessons and implement them into your life. And one of the things that I tell people is, especially if you're looking long-term into a career in athletics or any field that has a very visible face to it, right, where you're going to be out in front of the media, where you are a role model, where you are representing an organization, your team, a whole culture, you need to be able to be polished enough so that people want to hire you to rep their product, that people want to interview you on their show, so that you can have more reach, not just as an athlete, but as a professional too, because when you transition out of the game, all of those things are
exactly
going to stack up.
Now, it's funny, too, because, you know, I was talking about high school athletes transitioning to the college level.
Mm-hmm.
As a high school athlete, you don't get a chance to talk to a lot of media. I mean, maybe there's one or two reporters that show up at the game in the local newspaper, and we'll spend a couple minutes talking to you. But you look at these guys in the NCAA tournament, and they're being talked to after the games. And I'm going to give you a faux pas that I saw a couple years back. Maybe you remember this, maybe you don't.
Okay.
After Florida won the national championship, and Joakim Noah, do you remember his post-game interview? His post-game interview after they won the championship, he was like, oh, we go party. And it was like, are you kidding me? And you know, this is something that a kid like him could have benefited from, having somebody who taught him how to communicate with the media.
Yeah, and you know what, you know, with all due respect to high schools, to colleges, even to professional sports teams that I know, there is, in some cases, training in place, but it's sometimes formulaic and it's textbook-like. And, I mean, I'm an educator, so I could get fired for saying this, but let's be realistic. Textbooks are not all that. Textbooks is not where the real knowledge is transmitted. Textbooks is where you build a foundation of information.
That's the outline.
Yeah, and through coaching, you know, through getting that help through practice is where that knowledge comes into play. And so that's what I feel my show is all about and what I like to do with my clients.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great show. I'm excited to kind of see you launch and listen to a couple shows. And I know you got some great guests lined up. And Let's talk about your business, though. What do you do with your business?
Sure. My business is Impromptu Guru, and I've been going at it full time for, it'll be 2 years this June, so it's still relatively new. But what I do under a broad umbrella is communication coaching, and it manifests in two different ways. One way is for the individual. So I'll help business executives, professional athletes, politicians, whoever wants that individual training to polish themselves as a presenter, be it in front of the media, on camera, doing community relations. We know a lot of people in the public eye have to do these charity events and give acceptance speeches, and most people are ill-prepared, including actors and actresses for that matter.
Yep.
And so helping them get to the place where their image on stage with a microphone reflects their image in their profession. So, for example, an actor or actress wins an award, they're awesome on screen, and they go up and fumble through an acceptance speech. I want to make that coherent. I want to make that match. And then on the corporate side, it's, you know, the same thing, whether it's sales training, persuasive delivery, one-on-one relations with customers, management consulting, all of that fits under the umbrella too.
Oh, wow. So now you just take – now do you do the video where you sit them down, you put them in front of a camera, and then you sit back behind the camera with them after it's all done and you play it back and say, now look at this?
Sometimes. It depends on the client. You know, some people, if they're preparing for a big speech, I'm a big believer in getting your concepts down. Never, ever, ever write anything out word for word. You are bound to, number one, fail, number two, forget something, and number three, sound like a robot.
Exactly.
So you don't write it out word for word. But once you get a bulleted outline down, I am a big believer of having people record themselves with just audio, because a lot of your message and a lot of the meaning comes through in the paralanguage, in the rate, the tone, the pitch, your enunciation, your pronunciation, those type of things. And as I say, you can hear a smile. And so if you can't pick that up through your audio recording, you know that message needs to be adapted.
That's awesome stuff. That's some great material. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Coach Jack Murphy has joined us, and we're going to talk some NCAA March Madness, and we're going to take a look at how's your bracket standing up. Because you know what? I've got one Final Four team in the Final Four.
Me too.
Unbelievable. This is the worst thing. All right, this is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who got game? Where's the game in life? Behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game, he got game. It might feel good, it might sound a little something, or found the game if it ain't saying nothing.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football is Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network. Tired of the same mundane talk radio show, boring opinions, and people not knowing or telling the truth? Tune into The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. This show is brought to you by two men who know the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional sports. Josh and Otis's experience and careers in the NFL give them access to the inside information and a reason to have a candid opinion. Tune into the Voice America Sports Channel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. It's more than sports talk. It's a way of life.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
All All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. And right now we're joined by head coach of NAU, the Lumberjacks, Coach Jack Murphy. Welcome to the show, Coach.
I appreciate you having me back, Coach Lovely. I'm looking forward to it again.
Man, I tell you what, this was a crazy, crazy weekend of some NCAA basketball. This tournament, you know what, my bracket was busted the first week, and I have one Final Four team. This is the worst year I have ever experienced in bracketology.
Well, it's amazing because you talk all year long about the parity in college basketball, the chance for anyone to win it. It's not like college football where one out of two teams at the end of the year is predetermined to be SEC. It's really amazing, and you have to tip your hat to the student athletes that go out there and compete and do a great job. You're even seeing it now on the women's side. I mean, the upsets are happening there this year, so it's just a really fun and exciting NCAA tournament.
Yeah. So let's start with the West bracket because, you know, that's where the big shocker came from this year. Shocker, get it? Wichita State. Wichita State ended up beating Ohio State 70-66. Coach, talk about break that game down for us, man.
Well, you know, Wichita State has done a great job all year long at applying pressure and being able to handle pressure. You know, they're one of the few teams that won at VCU. They play in a very underrated conference, the Missouri Valley, and I believe Greg Marshall before the game talked about there are no longer any Cinderellas when you get to the Elite Eight, that everyone's earned their way there, and he's exactly right. I mean, they beat some very, very good teams to get there, and hopefully it gives a little bit more credibility to Gonzaga because they lost to a Final Four participant in Wichita State. But they have a lot of tough kids, a lot of junior college transfers. Malcolm Armstead, their starting point guard, played at Oregon and in junior college. Clay Anthony Early, one of the best junior college players in the country last year. They're just a bunch of tough kids, and they weren't afraid or going to back down to Ohio State and the big, bad Big Ten.
No, so they definitely didn't.
They threw the first punch, and then when Ohio State started to come back, they were able to stem the tide there at the end and make a couple big shots to hold off the Buckeyes.
So now let's talk about their matchup, because the game that determined their matchup was the Duke-Louisville game. And that game was amazing. I did not see that Louisville team coming out like this. I mean, this is my team that I picked to be in the Final Four in the championship game and then win it all. But Louisville was dominant. Their guard play was amazing.
No, it really was. Peyton Steven, Russ Smith have to be the two quickest, the quickest guard tandem in the country. They're absolutely outstanding. And Duke has always been such a great defensive team, and they have mobile and athletic bigs and Plumlee and whoever else they throw out there, and they couldn't control it. I mean, Siva and Russ Smith did what they wanted in that second half surge. They really got in the paint. I thought the Louisville defense started to wear down on Duke, and Seth Curry couldn't get going. Ryan Kelly couldn't get going, and Louisville was able to get better shots to start the second half, and the momentum started to roll, and they just went with it.
And, you know, I thought for a minute, just for a minute following the Kevin Ware injury, I thought Louisville would lose focus because they came down, missed several shots. Duke had a little bit of a run. I think it was a 9 to 12-point run at that point. And then Louisville took over again, and they just kind of started to fight right through it. Now, Coach, first off, have you ever seen an injury like that?
The only one in basketball that I could think of was the Sean Livingston injury from a few years back. It was one of his first years in the NBA when Sean Livingston was with the Clippers and he had the breakaway layup and he came down and just tore apart his leg. But I don't even think that was as gruesome as the injury we saw yesterday. And just the reaction of the players on the court, the teammates, the coaches, I've never seen anything like that in basketball or really in sports in general. I mean, you had a Hall of Fame coach and Rick Pitino who's seen everything on the basketball court. He couldn't even he had to look away. I mean, yeah. Tears were in his eyes. So, you know, that was a tough moment for those players and for the Louisville team. And you're exactly right, Scott. I felt right afterwards that they would lose some momentum, but they did momentarily. But they battled back like champions and really took charge of the game. You have to give a lot of credit to both Coach Pitino, his staff, and those players.
And I couldn't believe what Ware did when he was down on the ground. I don't know if you saw this or not.
Coach Lovely, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there seems to be an emergency. Staff has just made me aware that they are towing a vehicle out front. It seems to be like a black Mazda or something. They think it's Jill's vehicle. So if you could have her hurry up and get out there because they're about to pull off.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Coach, wow, that's kind of unusual that happened. I've never had that interruption like that before, but I guess, you know, she'll get that taken care of. It's an April Fool's joke. We got her. Coach, we got her as an April Fool's joke there. Okay, so, Coach, we're talking about this situation, and when he went down, it didn't seem – I mean, you saw him hurt his leg, but then the way that the team reacted, I mean, the camaraderie and the love that those guys have for each other, that was an amazing situation. I mean, to me, that spoke volumes about Rick Pitino and about the guys on that team and how they fight for each other.
I would agree with you. I mean, not every team in the country would react the way that they reacted. I mean, their players had deep, deep emotion for Kevin Ware and for his situation. And for him to call them close and tell them to go win the game, which has been reported, and it's just – it's amazing from his perspective as a young man and obviously severe pain and agony, but then also from his teammates' perspective to gather themselves, recover, and go out and execute the game plan to continue on. It was an amazing moment, and, you know, one of those things about sports that we love, both the injuries that can happen, which are difficult to deal with, but then also dealing with adversity, which we saw Louisville do so well.
I'm glad it was a break and not a ligament tear and his knee wasn't torn up, because, you know, he could come back from this pretty quickly. It was a successful surgery and he'll be fine. But if it was his knee with ligaments and everything else, oh man, that would have just been awful for him to try and come back from.
There's no doubt. And obviously I'm sure they had great doctors there in Indianapolis working on him, and he'll be there until tomorrow, so I'm sure he's excited to be able to rejoin his teammates and get back home to Atlanta, which is where Kevin's from originally, and enjoy the Final Four a little bit.
And let's talk about this matchup, Louisville-Wichita State. What this is going to be a great game. I mean, I see this Louisville team, they've been guard strong all year. These guys are probably some of the quickest guards I've seen in the country all year long. Their defense is what feeds them. They get after people. And offensively, they just drive right past their guys. Now, Wichita State, on the other hand, they're a very solid team and could pose a threat for Louisville.
Like I said earlier, I don't think Wichita State's going to be afraid of anybody. I mean, they're a collection of players that have taken the long road to get to where they are, and Greg Marshall has done a great job with them. I mentioned earlier the game that they had at BCU where they were able to handle that pressure and come out with a victory. I mean, when you're going into VCU to handle the havoc defense that Shaka Smart employs and you come away with a victory, that shows that you're able to handle pressure. And I think that's what Louisville tries to get teams to do, is to fall into their pressure. I think it's going to be a great game, and Wichita State's going to give Louisville all they can handle. I think in the end of the day, Louisville's too talented to lose that game, but, you know, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. Now let's go to the other side. We're looking at the east side, or the east bracket, and we got Syracuse-Marquette matchup with 55-39, Syracuse beating Marquette. Marquette offensively just didn't show up.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, if it was overconfidence from the last time that they had played Syracuse at home in Milwaukee and they had really taken it to Syracuse, or just the spotlight was shining too brightly and it was difficult for them to make the perimeter shots. But you have to give Syracuse some credit. I mean, the way that they've defended in this tournament, the numbers that they're putting up defensively are some of the best we've ever seen. And their length and athleticism on the perimeter and inside the paint when they're playing that 2-3 zone is stunning. I mean, when you're talking about their guards, Michael Carter-Williams at 6'6", Brandon Trish, 6'4", 6'5". I mean, those are big guards roaming the perimeter there, and then their wings are all long and athletic. So Syracuse is a tough matchup for anyone, and Marquette saw that the Syracuse zone has come a long way, even just in the last few weeks.
It really has. It's really exploded in the last several weeks. They've stifled some teams with that zone in the tournament. Now let's talk about the matchup that gives them their opponent, Florida and Michigan. This was another shocker, but you kind of called it last week, Coach, and we talked about this. Michigan really put it on Florida by 20 points, 79-59.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm a great analyst and I know all, but I mean, heck, Michigan was about one missed 3-point prayer away from not even making the Elite Eight. Kansas had that game won up 8 with a little over a minute to go, and Michigan had some great plays to win that game, and then they just kept that momentum going that they had earned in the last few minutes of the Kansas game, and really took it to Florida. And you know, Trey Burke is as good of a college basketball player as there is in the country, and the way Mitch McGarry is playing right now, he might be one of the best post players. He had a great game against Kansas and showed it again against Florida. So you have to give Michigan a lot of credit. They were number one ranked at one point during the season. They're very talented. They've got a bevy of experienced and talented guards with Tim Hardaway, Glenn Robinson, and Trey Burke. And, you know, they've got a great coach. John Beilein is an absolutely fantastic coach and very well prepared. And they're on a roll. I'd be worried about playing Michigan right now.
Yeah, 3 freshmen and 2 sophomores leading that team right now, Coach. And you got Syracuse and Michigan. This is going to be an awesome matchup, and it's going to be fun to watch. These guys, I think, the zone, we're going to see if the zone can slow down this Michigan offense, which seems to be at times unstoppable. And then we're going to see if the Michigan defense or the Michigan offense can solve the mystery of the 2-3 zone that everybody seems to be having problems with.
It will be interesting. I mean, the problem with defending Michigan is it seems like their shooters, if you take away the 3-point line, they just move back to the 4-point line. I mean, they just it doesn't matter where they are on the floor. And when you bring Stauskas into it too as the freshman shooter that you spoke about from Canada, he's a fantastic marksman too. So it's going to be interesting because Michigan's biggest weakness this year has been themselves defensively. They've had a difficult time stopping teams. Syracuse's biggest weakness has been offensively. I think they're one of the first teams in the last 5 or 6 years to make the Final Four shooting under 30% from the 3-point line. So it's almost two powers going at each other, the defense for Syracuse versus the offense of Michigan.
Yeah.
And then we'll see who wins the battle on the other end. If Michigan can get stops, and Syracuse has trouble scoring against them, then you have to give the edge to Michigan.
Well, I'm looking at the brackets here, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, so I think Louisville's going to move on. I don't think Wichita State's got what it takes to stop them. So Louisville's in the title game. Who are they playing in this title game, Coach?
Well, if you're asking me, I'll probably go with Michigan right now, even though Syracuse has been playing so well. I just think that the greatest defensive players of all time, whether you're talking about Bruce Bowen on down the line, has still been are unable to completely shut down the best offensive players. And right now, I think in the two teams, Michigan's got the better offensive players. I think that they're locked in. They're playing really well. They're going to need somebody else to step up. Hardaway's going to have a good game. Robinson's going to have a good game because I know Syracuse will take McGarry away. But I just think Michigan's playing too well right now offensively. And then in the title game, that'll be a great matchup, Louisville-Michigan, if that happens.
Yeah.
And I'll leave that up to you, Scott, to pick a winner.
All right. Well, I'm picking Louisville. But then again, Michigan has really impressed me in the last several weeks, so I'm not sure. We'll have to see how they play in the Final Four, and then Monday night's the title game. Now, Coach, are you going back for the Final Four?
I am. I fly out Thursday night from Phoenix. I'll be there Friday and Saturday, and then come back Sunday, so I'll be back before the championship game Monday night.
Okay, so will you be able to call in and talk to us a little bit about your Final Four experience?
Absolutely, if you'd like me to, that wouldn't be a problem. I'd love to.
I'd love to get that done. I'd love the listeners to have a feel of what it's like to be back at the Final Four, because not many people get to experience it.
Yeah, no, it'll be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to being your roving reporter from the Final Four next week.
Excellent. Scott, maybe you can take some pictures and shoot them to me, and I'll put them on the Coach's Corner Facebook page and tweet them out.
Yeah, there'll be pictures of other people because I am awful at pictures. I'm great. you've got a voice and face for, you've got a voice for radio and a face for the movies. I've got a voice for radio. I mean, a face for radio. So.
All right. Hey, thanks, Coach. I appreciate you joining us.
Okay. Thank you. And have a great week and a great day.
All right. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Bye.
All right. Okay, that was Coach Jack Murphy from NAU, and we were talking to him about the March Madness. And I tell you what, you know, if you – I'm just going to keep saying this over and over and over again. You need to get out and watch the NAU Lumberjacks. You need to support what they're doing up there because Coach Murphy's a great guy. Lisa, Ms. Campos, the AD up there, has done a great job up there. And, you know, they're turning around. You just got to get up there and support them a little bit. The NAU takeover continues. Now – let's talk about the Final Four, Jill.
I mean, oh my gosh.
I know you're heartbroken because your Jayhawks are sitting at home watching.
Yes.
But you know what? That was an unbelievable game. They kind of threw that away.
They completely threw it away.
They threw. I mean, the last 2 minutes of that game, you thought Kansas had it, and all of a sudden Michigan said, uh-uh.
Yeah, no, not at all. And, you know, in the last 5 minutes, they had three turnovers that Michigan converted into points, and, you know, those are the mistakes that cost you advancing.
And here's my question. Why not foul Trey Burke? What, you know, we've been talking about this foul or defend all year long. If you're inside of 7 seconds and you're up three, foul the guy, put him on the line, make him shoot two, and then have to get the ball back in order to beat you. But instead, they let him shoot the three, went to overtime, and there it is. That's
absolutely
the game.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Kansas, for the most part, the majority of the close games that they've played, they've all been comebacks for Kansas in the second half. So I think the momentum shifted a little bit when you have KU going into a locker room up, I don't know, were they up 13, 14 at
half?
Something like that. I'm sure they didn't get that same fire lit under them that's been going on the rest of the year, because they came back out and they started off pretty strong and looking steady. But as soon as that, you know, lead went into single digits, you know, I'm sitting with my friends and they're like, oh, this is going to be well, you know, good and well for you. Nope. I just sat on my hands and watched, because once it got into the single digits, I knew Michigan had what it took. So.
And we were texting during that time.
We
too,
were.
Because you put that picture of you with that Jayhawk t-shirt and then the ribbon.
Oh yeah. The bow, the earrings. Oh yeah. There was no hiding who I was cheering for that night. And there was no hiding the looks that I got at that bar after that game either.
So, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to welcome to the show former NFL kicker Nick Lowry. We're going to talk about his charity event that's coming up this week in Paradise Valley to fight bullying. So this is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely. We'll be right back after this message.
We got game. It might feel good. It might sound a little something. I found the game if it ain't saying nothing. Yeah, that's right. Everybody got game. We just here to let y'all know that P.E. is in full effect from right now until the year 2000. Hey, yo, my man, sing it.
There's something happening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
Yeah, that's right.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Play ball! If you're looking to talk baseball, even in the offseason, look no further than the King's Corner, talking baseball with former World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Jim's known for a rather controversial stance during his show. He's brutally honest and ready to talk with current and former players, owners, and other key figures to bring you baseball from an insider's view. You won't want to miss a single episode. The King's Corner, Talking Baseball with Jim Leyritz, is heard every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Scott Lovely, and right now we're being joined by former NFL kicker Nick Lowry. Nick runs a youth foundation called the Nick Lowry Youth Foundation. You can find them online at NickLowryYouthFoundation.org. And he's got an event coming up this Thursday night called Imagine 100 Faces. Now, I'm going to read this to you real quick before we bring Nick in. It says, Imagine 100 Faces, faces of bullied children, homeless men and women, underprivileged youth struggling to transcend their circumstances with courage and vision. Now imagine those 100 faces and picture your ability to change those 100 lives forever. That's what the Nick Lowry Youth Foundation plans to achieve on Thursday, April 4th, 2013. Nick, welcome to the show, man.
Well, thank you. You know, just taking time to read that. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. You know what? This is awesome because, you know, we covered bullying when you and I were talking just about a second ago about the Queen Creek situation. When that happened and that story came out, I covered that on the show. And, you know, the fact that you've actually put together a youth foundation that's raising funds to impact this situation about bullying speaks volumes about who you are. Let's talk a little bit about your organization and what you plan to do with this event on Thursday night.
Well, it's our first benefit concert. It's our second Imagine event. And, Scott, it's really, they say star-studded. It's not fight night, but it's not that far behind it. We're going to have Evander Holyfield, if you can use the analogy of standing up and fighting for those that can't fight for themselves. Evander's going to talk about that, and he'll be the five-time world champion. We'll have Kenny Stabler, which I always find is ironic and fun because obviously the Chiefs and the Raiders had their share of battles with Len Dawson and Kenny the Snake Stabler back in the 70s, and he'll be there, a Hall of Famer.